what's the greatest gift you've ever received? Say it out loud so the people next to you can hear it. If you're alone, listen to yourself. I wonder, was it something that you received? An inheritance, a great job, a house? Was it somebody? A child, the love of your life, a friend? May I suggest, the greatest gift that you've ever received was the gift of your life. If you haven't received that gift, you couldn't receive anything else because you wouldn't exist. And Paul says that your life is a gift from God. And then he gives a big invitation to react to that gift that God has given you. We find this statement in one of the most famous sermons Paul ever preached. It was to the Greeks in Athens. And he said, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. Think about it for a moment. Your life is a gift from God. What is life? Well, first of all, it's something physically. Cells that consist of molecules, that consist of atoms, which consist of protons, neutrons, and electrons, come together in a very mysterious, unique way to bind through chemicals such as carbon, hydrogen, nitrogen, water, and organs come into being. And they work together. And that's a living organism that comes into being. And it's a gift. It's unexplainable, unrepeatable. And then life is not only a once-off gift, it's given to you all the time. The moment you experience life, it's got to be sustained. And it's sustained through food, through breathing, through air, through taking in air. You need a place, you need shelter. But life's more than that. Life's connection, it's relationships. There's a whole emotional, psychological aspect to life. And some of us has tremendous needs of perhaps a car, the internet, all of that is your life. And it's been given to you. It's a gift. You did not earn it. You couldn't do anything to get it. It was given to you. And it's not going to last forever. It's given for a specific, certain amount of time. One day, something will happen. And all those molecules, atoms, will decide to go their own way. And a decomposition will start to take place in you. It will still look as if you have a body, but actually it would only be a corpse. And there's nothing you can do to stop it. And they will go their own way. And this whole experience of this life that you have now will end. It's given to you for a certain amount of time to live it. And one wonders, are we aware of the fact that it's a gift? We can be so absorbed in all the aspects of life, in all the things that are happening in my life, that I'm not aware of my life. It's like looking through your eyes and with your eyes without ever seeing your eyes or being aware of your eyes. So the first question is, how do you feel about the biggest gift, the gift of your life? Are you in amazement Are you thankful? Just how do you feel about it? The next big thing that Paul says is that God has given this life to you. The God who made the world and everything in it gives everyone life and breath and everything else. You received it from God. Now that was a bold statement to the people of Athens, because most of them did not think about life or about God that way. Well, there were the agnostics. First of all, the philosophical agnostics, the Stoics. They did not believe in a personal God. They believed in logos, reason. And you primarily find this logos in nature. So if you attune to nature, you can get access to this knowledge, which will make you wise and enable you to live thoughtfully, intentionally, with your mind. And you can detach from all negative emotions by living this way. So they didn't put emphasis on the outside world and everything happening to you. And they weren't really interested in gods or anything else. They were interested in what's happening on your inside and the locus of control that you can exercise to have a better life. They were the practical agnostics. They were the Epicureans. They said, only one life, live it. They say when you die, it's all over. So while you're alive, experience it to the full. Everything that you can experience, do it. Because you've only got this one opportunity in life. And then there were the religious people. Now, they had a lot of gods. And what they actually did was to look at life and look at all the aspects of life and the dimensions of life. And they honor things and aspects of life that were beautiful to them, that gave them life. You know, there was Nike, or Nike, as we say. And shall we call it the god of sport? And then there were Bacchus, the god of parties, eating and drinking. And then there were Aphrodite, the god of romance, sensuality, sexuality, sex, different aspects of life. And they would say, well, I worship this. And by worshiping, they meant that I honor this aspect of life. It's a force in itself, a power in itself, and I get a lot of life from it. I think a lot about it. I value it. I build my life around it. I would read about it, attend meetings, have a great ecstatic experience with other people. That's my way of worship. Well, we're much too sophisticated today to think that way and to talk that way, but actually, we do the same thing. We build our life around things that gives us life, and we would only use phrases like, I really enjoy it. I love it. This is important to me. But it can become the center of your life. Now, Paul looked at this phenomena. And the word that he used, and the Bible used in verse 16 for Luke, was tuthera. He could have used other words for looking, just observing. But this was to theorize about what I see. I have a double vision. There's more than what meets the eye. There's something behind it, and it upset him. And actually, it's an interesting word that he used. He was upset, but he was also sad. There was something sad about it, that people did it. Because Paul knew that by living this way, you're not really living your life. An idol will never forgive you. An idol will never fulfill you. An idol will never give you freedom. But it actually will bind you and will never deliver what it promises. And that's why he got cross, but sad at the same time. He wanted to help them. He was moved with compassion. And that's why he said, listen, your friends, there's one creator God. To the people that didn't believe in God, he said, there is a God. And to the people that said, well, there's a lot of gods, he said, no, you are worshipping aspects of the creation, of things that the creator God created. And you're building your life around these things. Why don't you build it around the creator? It's like a little child that gets all taken up with his gift, that he forgot where the gift came from. And he's not even thankful towards the giver of the gift. Your life is a gift. There's a giver where there's a gift. And he, God, is the gift. So think about it. Do you feel that way? Now, there's a big difference a lot of times in our lives between what we say, what we assume, and what is actually our operational idea of God. So we can say, I believe God gave everything to me. But we would also think things like, Lady Luck brought this to me. The force was one. This was Mother Nature. No, it's God. It's not something. It's not somebody. My parents, I'm so thankful. I inherited all the stuff that I have. No, it's God. Through your parents, of course. Or think, it's myself. A lot of times, if you listen to the testimony of famous people, they would say, I'm not lucky. I've worked hard for this. And of course, you've worked for it. But at the end of the day, it's God who gave you the power. It's God who gave you the life. It's God who sent the people your way so that you can have the life that you have at the moment. It's a gift of God. It's an invitation to look at your life differently and to interpret your experience differently. For instance, your breathing. He says God gives you your life. So all those molecules, atoms that binds and sticks together and work together at this moment, do it because of God. He told them to do it. And that's why it's happening to you. That's why you're alive. But even the breath that you receive is from God. Your food that you receive is of God. And that's why Jesus wanted to cultivate this consciousness. He told us to pray every day and to thank God for the food that we receive. It's a gift from God. So, it's not enough to be in awe with the gift of life. It's important to be at awe with the source of the life that you have, God. I have a friend, he's a mindfulness teacher, and he taught me a lot about being mindful, being present, mindful of what's happening around you, of just walking and feeling your feet and the ground, of what's going on inside of you, sensing your whole body. But one day I've asked him, what about an awareness of God? And he said, no. I'm not interested in religion. I might be spiritual, but this gift is enough for me. It gives me enough meaning, and it gives me a rich, deep, fulfilled life. My invitation was, but what about reaching out to the source that's behind the gift and everything? And it seems as if that was what Paul was doing to the Athens, to the people in Athens. Become aware of the source, connected to the source. That is a way to interpret your experience of the life. And it makes a big difference. So the question is, Are you aware of your life? What do you think about it? Are you aware of the source behind the life that you've been given? Now, what Paul did after he's given his message, he made an invitation and asked them, why don't you live with God? God is a person. And he came to us and revealed himself to us through Jesus. And we know that he is God through the resurrection that happened. So Paul was preaching the good news about Jesus and the resurrection so that they would seek him, perhaps reach out for him and find him. Now he's not far from any one of us, for in him we live and move and have a whole being. So what Paul did was taking it a step further. You've got a gift. It's from God. And God revealed himself in Jesus. And this is the good news. He's alive. And you can seek him. In other words, turn your attention towards him. And then you can touch him. You can reach out to him. And literally in the Greek is you can touch him. Augustinus taught and said that for every sense that we have a spiritual sense. So you can see with the eyes, but you can also see with the eyes of the heart. You can hear with your ears, but you can also hear with the ear of your heart. You can touch with your heart. You can experience God. You can find him. And then you can live with him. So that's the invitation. It's another kind of life. Paul's turning everything around. He challenges, not just there, but our thinking and view of God. He challenges our view and our thinking of ourselves and of life. This is life. To become aware of it. So not just to take cognizance, not just to know it as a fact, but to be aware of it, to cultivate that awareness and to start living with that consciousness of God and of the gift of life, to experience your life deeply and living it. So it makes a big difference. And here's the invitation. Are you aware of this gift? Do you receive it from God? We can sometimes think that we know better, that we don't like what we've received. Paul's invitation is to take responsibility for your life and to make the creative best you can with that life. Galatians 6 in the Message. It's a wonderful gift. You'll be filled with thankfulness because you didn't earn it. You didn't have to do anything for it. And then you receive it every moment from God. Are you aware of that? It will make you totally dependent upon God. But it will also bring a huge freedom in your life. I'm not responsible. I cannot make this happen. Ye gives it to me. And he gives me the people that comes into my life. He gives me the opportunities. He gives me the brain, the knowledge, the insight. I'm totally dependent upon God for this experience that I call life. And I thank him for that. You'll experience that the world becomes a safe place for you to live in. I remember one time went to fetch my son at school, and there was three huge guys with him, and they were shoving him around and giving him orders, and I could see it wasn't a pleasant experience to him. But he saw me in the side of his eye, and suddenly his whole attitude changed, and he said, sorry, I'm not carrying your suitcase. And he walked off. And at first they wanted to go after him, and then they saw me as well, and they let him go. But everything changed when he saw me, when he knew I was with him. I couldn't help but to think, that's human nature. It happens to all of us. If we know, I've got backup. There's somebody that's able. There's somebody that cares. And he's with me. It changes your mood. It changes your attitude. It changes the way that you look at life. It's an invitation to a new kind of life. Become aware of your gift. Become aware of the fact that it's God that gave it to you. Become aware of the fact that it's Jesus and he's with you. And you can share your life with him and can have a relationship with him. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the wonderful gift of life that you've given us. Open up our eyes for this gift. Make us deeply aware of the giver of this gift. Help us to connect with you and to start cultivating this consciousness of life and of you being with us to live this life this way that you've given us. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord for this week. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen.